for the children, and they're going to be presenting the gospel message to them down there this Sunday, and planting seeds. And I said, I came to Christ as a little boy, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and children's church. I remember that. And there is no junior Holy Spirit. And so you're very receptive as a child. So I'm going to continue sharing. Bill, I had Bill get a picture because I think that's going to help. I've been speaking on the tabernacle of Moses for a few weeks. Yeah, and the picture, if Bill gets that up there. And there's a ton of different pictures, but sometimes I'm a visual guy, and when I see something, it helps me. But we spoke a few weeks ago about, the offerings that were taken up. There we go. Picture of Jesus, could you imagine? And offerings that were taken up. By the way, I've been getting those checks out, and it's been very well received. Thank you guys for giving a few weeks ago. And I spoke about the brazen altar last week some, and I'm going to continue that this week. I spoke to my wife, and she mentioned it this morning, and I spoke to someone else who listened to my message, who doesn't go here. And what stuck out to them and me, actually, was the idea of it's a benefits package. And so we have, when you come to the brazen altar, there's, forgiveness of sins, but go to Isaiah 33, Jesus took a lot more than what the types and shadows of him show, because it's a picture of the benefits package. We're at prayer on Monday and Tuesday, and Bill called it his policy. And so his benefits package, his policy is that he took my sickness, he took my shame, he took my guilt, my shame, he took everything. I'm a brand new, we were saying this morning, I'm a brand new creation. All things have passed away, and I am brand new. Okay? And so we spoke about that some last week. I'm going to continue to speak. Let me just, before I do that, you can see the gate. And I spoke about the gate. It's the picture of Christ. We all come in. It's the widest part. This is where we are now, which is the brazen altar. The brazen laver will be next. And we spoke some just to kind of give you a visual. When you go inside there, there's the holy place. And the holy place, which I will speak about in the coming weeks. There's a lot of stuff there. I'm actually just giving you an overview. There's even stuff along the sides as well that you can speak on. Outer court, holy place, most holy place. Just to kind of give you a picture, you can go online and look at it too. But it's a wonderful topic of study. And like I said, there's, I forget how many chapters in the first five books of the Bible, 121 verses in the book of Hebrews that speak about the tabernacle of Moses. It's a beautiful picture of Christ and our relationship with him. And I want to share on something this week. I have three passages. You can write them down because I'm going to read them. And you can go back because the Lord gave me, I'm still on the brazen altar. The Lord downloaded some stuff into me recently. And I'm going to speak on this morning as it pertains to the brazen altar. First chapter, it's Exodus. And I'm just going to give you these and I'm going to read them. You don't have to turn there one by one. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 and 38. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 through 24. And the last chapter is Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 through 13. Okay? That's Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 through 38. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 through 24. And Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 through 13. And I have an idea. I have some stuff in my heart I want to share. I feel like it's going to be beneficial, especially at the end of some of you. I really felt that as I was, preparing my heart this week. I want to, you can take, and it's just like anything in the scripture, I can take something abstract like this, but I used to have a guy who would minister in our church quite a bit, and I grew up, he said, if it doesn't work in the dirt, I don't want it. And at the end of the day, everything has to be worked down to shoe leather. Amen? And if it's all just a concept or a theory, then it's a concept or a theory and it stays that way. If it's something that I apply to my life and I can live and walk it, that's what the Lord's heart is, okay?
Amen.
So, Exodus 40, verse 34 through 38, this is the dedication of the tabernacle. And these verses together might not make sense, but just give me some time to build upon it, okay? It says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tabernacle of meeting, because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I kind of want to focus on that right there. Whenever the cloud was taken up above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey until that day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Okay, that's the dedication of the tabernacle. In Leviticus chapter 6, let me do chapter 9 first. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 through 24. And that's just turnover. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people. Aaron was the priest. Blessed them and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offerings. Remember we spoke about that last week with the offerings and what that was in those times. It was the same thing. It's like cutting covenant, like a meal covenant. So if James is coming over to my house, agricultural area, I'm going to take it and I'm going to cut the biggest thing I can cut up and we're going to have a meal. That's why Jesus said, you take and you eat of my flesh and my bone. Okay, so it talks about covenant. And Moses, verse 23, and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. It says, then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. There's the glory of the Lord again. And fire, this is what my heart is this morning, came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Take this, I'm going to go to my next one. Fire fell from heaven. Okay? It's a pattern in Scripture. In chapter 6 of Leviticus, it says, and the fire fell on the altar, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out, and the priests shall burn it on every morning, lay the burnt offering on it and order it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. So here we have the dedication of the tabernacle. Glory of the Lord filled the house, but the glory of the Lord is spoken of as fire. And so what we have here, the fire came down from heaven and consumed sacrifice. But it was the priest's responsibility to keep that fire going. Okay? The Lord would not allow me to get away from this week. And I want to speak about our partnership with the Lord. Okay? And the fact that You know, Bob said this earlier, the Lord wants to come hang out with us. He wants to come hang out with us. And he's chosen, for whatever reason, to partner with us with his work, his kingdom in this earth. Okay? And he's chosen to interact with us. But I want to get to the fact that there is responsibility on our end. Okay? To maintain the fire, the Lord gave it, but if the priest did not do their responsibilities, remember I said every morning and evening they would do it extra on Sabbath, they would do it extra on feast days. If the priests did not do their portion, the fire goes out. The Lord's done His job, but He's chosen to use us to keep that fire going. Amen? You see where I'm going to kind of go somewhere with this. Because the Lord puts, as believers, the Lord puts responsibility on us. Amen. He does. And I can come to Christ, I can be saved and say, that's it. No more responsibility. And that's fine. But you might have a saved soul and a lost life. Because there's things that the Lord's called you to do that He's called no one else to do. There's unique giftings, talents, anointings within you that you have a responsibility to do something with. Right? And so that's kind of some of the heart of where I'm going. Let me give you some examples of where fire fell. And I know Pete, I urge you that he knows that as well. On Gideon's sacrifice, when he was called to be a judge, that's in Judges 6:21, and there's a sacrifice lit. Fire came from heaven. It speaks of his acceptance and his approval. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel. Fire came from heaven, right? Spoke of the approval of the Lord. Solomon's sacrifice, his dedication of his temple, fire came down. We did have, we also showed the tabernacle of Moses as well. And if you remember in the book of Acts, when John the Baptist says, one's coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When did that happen? The book of Acts said tongues of fire fell. Holy Spirit and fire. You see that? And so throughout Scripture, the Lord goes, when fire from heaven is something that the Lord does, you know. I did nothing to earn my salvation, right? Amen. The only responsibility I had in it was to accept it. I had to accept it. Same for, as we talked about in Acts, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I did nothing to earn it, okay? I didn't have to go on a 4-day fast to get it. It was something that He's freely given to me. But I have a responsibility to accept it. So even in that, there's responsibility on our end. Amen? And so I can, the Lord can give all the benefits and everything in the world, but I have a responsibility to walk in it, okay? In everything that I do, I keep the fire going. Throughout the scriptures, just bear with me for a minute, and I'm going to share a few things from my heart. I have to lay a background. Fire, and I saw Rob asking Bob. Bob puts a lot of Greek words, and that's a good thing in his notes. That's very helpful when you look at the Greek. One of the words for fire in Greek means a light. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. It means light. But throughout Scripture, let me just turn to a few passages real quick. You don't have to turn there with me. But fire speaks of the presence of God in Scripture. I love the presence of the Lord. Amen? And so His fire comes from His presence, comes from Him. And so in Exodus chapter 3, I've got the verse written down, 2 through 6, when Moses saw the burning bush, in verse 6, he says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." It's a picture of the very presence of God Himself. As the fire was burning in the bush, he said, "I was afraid to look at God." It's a picture of His presence and who He is. He came in Mount Sinai in fire in Exodus 19, verse 18. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, I go quick with some of these verses. If you ever have a question about the verses I have, just come see me afterwards and I can give those to you. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, it says, "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children." Remember, we spoke about this before. The glory of the Lord is His goodness. Amen?
Amen.
And so we can see, when we celebrate the Lord, we're giving Him glory. So when we give testimonies, someone got saved, someone was healed, that's giving glory unto the Lord because we're showing what He does. Amen? Speaks of fire. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7, it says, "And the Lord comes in fire." It talks about His second coming when He comes in judgment and presence as well. Remember, Revelation speaks of Jesus. John the Revelator saw Him as His eyes are like burning fire. It's a fun subject to get into. That's just an overview. But kind of what I want to get to is that fire speaks of the presence of the Lord, speaks of His glory, just His goodness, and it speaks of light. And I'm going to speak about that in a minute as well, the light of God. Okay? Just as a background. God has chosen, and I've been wrestling with something. Let me say this. I believe God is sovereign. Okay? So He's in from the beginning. I believe in the sovereignty of God. But there's an element where we see that for some reason He's chosen to partner with us in this earth. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 3, 9. It says, "For we are laborers together." The word "laborers together" in the Greek actually means a synergy. And so it's like synergy. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Tom Brady has good synergy with his receivers. He knows where they're going to be in the field. He can throw it. There's a working and there's a communing and a relationship together. Like in sports, you have to have. If I'm playing basketball, I need to know the guys on my team. If I just throw me in there, there's a synergy we have with the Lord. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Lord desires us to have a walk with Him where there's, as Bob said, we hang out, there's a relationship, and I'm led and I can move and He partners with me. Amen.
Amen.
For far too long, let me put it this way. I want to dispel the idea that we can take sometimes where, well, if that's the Lord's will, it will happen. I have no part to play in it. It just is what it is. Okay? I don't want to produce a spirit of laziness. There's a story I heard. It was, you know, in times past, missionaries weren't as common as we are today. Today, we, you know, in the Assemblies of God, they call them our heroes, where we go overseas and stuff. But there's a story told, and there's a young missionary, and he felt a burning in his heart to go to India. And there's a pastor, and he said, "You know, why are you going to go to India? If God wants to save those heathens, He'll take care of it Himself." And so the fire in that young guy was squelched. Why? Because the guy's philosophy of the Lord is, it's not you don't have to do anything. If the Lord wants to do it, He'll do it Himself. Yet the Lord put something in that kid's heart to go to India to preach. The Lord wants to partner with us. And so if we have the notion and the idea that whatever happens to me, whatever the Lord wants, He's just going to do it one way or the other. There's some truth in that, and I'm trying to balance something this morning. But I want to get the idea, you know, if you say no to the Lord, He's going to have His will, He's going to have His sovereign purpose, but He's going to go to someone else. Okay? If I say no to God, Lord, I'm not doing this. Okay, the Lord's not going to hold me hostage. He's not going to shoot me with a tranquilizer gun and drag me out. He'll just say, okay, I honor that. You're my son. You're my child. I'll keep you here. James, will you go do this? I don't want the Lord to say that to me.
Somebody else gets the blessing.
Yes. Someone else gets the blessing. I feel called to go to India. Well, if the Lord wants to save them, He'll save them. Maybe the Lord wants to use you to do that. And I say no.
Amen.
And He takes it. I'm going to go to Him. I don't know if this is true or not. I heard Billy Graham, I'm sure all of our, someone else had that anointing and they said no to it. I've spoken to people before who had a calling on their life to some capacity. And a calling on your life is not just standing behind a pulpit. It's anything, but there's a certain calling they had. I think it was a prophetic one. And they were afraid they didn't want it. So the Lord honors that and He leaves you alone. He goes to someone else. There's a responsibility we have as children of God to respond to Him. Okay? I'm going to build on that real quick. Let me do this. To begin with, how do I kindle the fire in my life? I have to state, Hebrews 12:29 has a great verse. It says, our God is a consuming fire. So if I'm with Him and fellowshipping with Him, anytime you minister, and I'm not talking about behind the pulpit, when you minister to your family who doesn't know the Lord, at the end of the day, I say this, ministry is the outflowing of the indwelling Christ. You minister your relationship with God to people, okay?
Amen.
If I don't have anything, if I'm never receiving anything, if I'm never with Him, at the end of the day, I have nothing to give.
Amen.
If I'm never in the Word, if I'm never in prayer, if I'm never in fellowship and communion, association comes before representation, okay? I associate with Him. I spend time with Him. I'm communing with Him. And then, as I do that, I get to know His heart. I get to be aware of His ways and of His person. And I can go out and minister. But that's something, you know, you can be a born-again believer. Come to Jesus. Saved, washed in the blood. Never spend time with the Lord. You're saved, you die today, you're going to heaven. But do you know what? You might miss out on tons of opportunities that the Lord has specifically designed for you because you don't keep the fire going in your life. I could say a lot about that. Here's what I felt to share. We were in the class Monday night, and they said something. I wrote it down because I can't quite remember what they said. Oh, whatever you focus on will dominate you.
Amen.
I liked that. That happened to me this week. I'll give you an example. Whatever you focus on will dominate you. It's important in our life with God that we're careful. David said in one of the Psalms, I don't remember which one, I'll let nothing unclean come before my eyes. It's important that we pay attention what we take in. Because whatever I eat upon is what I'm going to produce. Okay? Whatever I digest, whatever I spend time with. Let me give you a story just to kind of, sometimes we have to detox. It was Friday, I hate telling stories about myself, but I do it because there's stories are vehicles of truth. It was Friday, and I was following the political news of the day. If you follow politics, and I found myself, I can usually look at it and kind of keep myself, I like to know what's going on. I feel like it's important for Christians to be able to speak to the issues of our day, okay? And so I think it's important to keep up with what's going on, without being completely consumed by the spirit of it. And I can see what God is doing and speak God's word into the situation.
Amen.
But I was following the news of the political events of the day on Friday, and I was getting so wrapped up in it, it started to consume me. And I can tell in my spirit I was starting to get angry at people.
It was kind of a full day.
It was a full day. It started at about 12 o'clock, and I went to the gym after I got off of work, and I kept that, got the bike right in front of the thing, and I was just, and the Lord really, I got to the point, And there's a real check in my spirit. I said, man, come on, get back in the spirit. I can't do that. And I started getting angry, having these bad thoughts about these folks and yada, yada. It was all I could think about. And when you get to that point, at least for me, and I don't want to project it, but I need to be careful what I'm feeding on. When I lose that sense of peace, that sense of presence, that sense of assurance in my heart, and I start to drift from that, and I start operating in a different spirit, and that's a problem. And so I had to detox. And I said, Lord, I need to detox. And so I have been following. I might see what's going on today when I get home or something. But I had to separate myself from it. Lord, what is your heart in this? Seek him, and then I can look into it, and I can still speak to the issues of my day, know what's going on. But I'm speaking from his heart. This is all keeping the fire going. I let the fire dim out because I started operating in a different ways. And I get the fire back going in. Lord, I need to connect with you. It was funny, I'll tell you this. It's Friday night before I went to bed. I was going to get on the computer and I checked the stuff and the mouse wouldn't work. I said, Lord, you're really trying to tell me something. And so I just turned this computer off and forget it. And I'm not projecting that. I think it's important as believers that we understand what's going on and we can speak into it. One of the things I enjoy about prayer that we have is, and I say this as a compliment, I don't think we've ever had a prayer meeting with Kevin and Sharon have not lifted up our president and our leaders. And I think that's important to do because you know what? That's another area we can say, well, that doesn't matter. But the Lord wants us, we're called to bless our leaders, to pray for our leaders. Scripture's clear about that. To speak the words of God into these folks' lives in prayer. And that's an important thing, amen? It's a lot easier to do that, too, if I'm aware of what's going on and who these folks are. So just to kind of get that. But be careful that your fire doesn't go out because of what you're... For others of you, it could be different things. It used to be sports with me. You know, I remember... Bob said he turns the game off because my dad turns the games off because he gets so nervous. He'll watch it if they win and turn off if they lose. I used to get so mad. And I said, something's not right here. This is taking on, I've consumed too much of this. And so there's a principle in the scripture of reduced interest. And so so for me, if I have an area to really overindulge myself, something where I start to cut off my walk with God, that's what I'm after right here. If my walk with God and my spirit gets disrupted because something else is consuming me, that's a good indication. Maybe I need to detox for a little bit.
Amen.
And start pressing into him. Okay? That's keeping the fire. That's your responsibility. Unless God doesn't make your mouth work, that's your responsibility to be sensitive enough to the Lord that you're aware of what's going on and you press into that. Okay? Another aspect of this is light. And in John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then I mentioned this before. I spoke a message on about salt and light some time ago. But in Matthew 5, Jesus says, he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. But on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus, our God is a consuming fire. One is coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Remember we had that storm a few months ago and we lost power. We got power, we got candles, and we lit candles. We had fire we could see, right? And so I could get the kids dressed, whatever, for bed. The tabernacle itself, a cloud by day, a fire by night. Why? Because it illuminates you and you can see, right? So the Lord says, he is the fire and he's put that within you, so you are to shine as lights in the world. So I say this, you know, God doesn't have a plan. So, hey, I'm in a dark place, you know. You know, Kevin's in the prison, dark place. The light. And it's shining there. Amen? He doesn't have a plan B. He says, you know what? I'm going to put my spirit in him, live within this man. And because Jesus is a light, it shines through him. And it illuminates the place. Amen?
Amen.
I don't have to be afraid of darkness. The lights are on in here, and I turn the lights on, the darkness doesn't fight the light. It gets bright.
Amen.
And the Lord says that's what you are. Everywhere you go, every place you are, that gives tremendous responsibility. We can hide it. He says it in here. He says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. I think that means that's an option for us. I can be lit by the Lord. I can have my fire ignited, and I can hide it. But it's not the Lord's intention that we be lit and we hide it. Some of us are afraid to breathe in public when it comes to things of the Lord. And I have to deal with stuff like that too. Sometimes we get, you know, just be who you are sometimes. And that says all the things in the world. You can. I have a story I'm going to share at the very end. I think it was about D.L. Moody, I think. It's a neat story about how he walked into a barber shop. I shared before on Super Bowl Sunday, the Eagles, a guy came to Jesus because of someone's influence of light that he had on him. How does that light keep going? Association with the Lord. Amen. And being with Him. So you are His plan. I was visiting someone's home one time, and this is good. There's a big sign on the thing, and it says, why do you try so hard to fit in when you were born to stand out? I love that.
Amen.
Why do you try so hard to fit in when you were born to stand out and to be a light? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and go to the next point, and then I'm going to wrap her up. Just to kind of rehash some things. I won't give you a theological definition of something, but let me say it this way. Jesus, I'm trying to get the idea of responsibility. Jesus trained his apostles to go in, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, to love, to honor, do works of mercy and justice. Why? He ascended on high, gave gifts to men. And so he ascended on high and he put his spirit. We spoke about that some of the corporate anointing. And he's put himself upon all of us. Why? Because we're lights. We're called to carry the flame and we're called to carry the fire. And I want to speak some in my heart. You know, the battle is won. Jesus has won the victory. It's like the ball game where your team wins and you go back and watch it later in the second quarter. It looks like, oh, things aren't going well. We're on the winning team, but he's called us to be active participants and to play in it. And so it puts a real sense of honor and perspective when I think that the Lord looked throughout history and said, 2018, you know, in southern New England, I'm putting these people here because they have something within them.
Amen.
That this region needs.
Amen.
That's powerful to me, you know.
Amen.
Put on myself. I'm here 2018 in this region because the Lord's put something in me. The Lord Himself is in me because there's folks who need what I carry.
Right.
That's responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord puts responsibility on us. He'll throw it back on you. What are you doing with that? What are we doing with that? He's lit the fire. I did nothing for that. That was all God. But it's my responsibility. Warning. Remember, they would light it morning and night. Evening, morning, and noon shall I pray and cry aloud. You shall hear my voice. Psalms 55. I love that. That's more than just a five-minute thing. Michael, I'm going to brag on Michael, shared something in the class Monday. He said something he's been doing. It's just a daily communing with God. You mentioned Brother Lawrence one time. There's a little book, if you've never read it, Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And how Brother Lawrence was in a monastery washing dishes. And he said every day, every moment, he was in communion with God. Unbroken communion. But that's possible is amazing. Amen. Everyone has a metron or a sphere. When he talked about the light, he says the light shines in your house. I've spoken to him about your metrons, places where God has given you authority. 2 Corinthians talks about when Paul says, I will not boast beyond the level of place where God has put me. It speaks of His metron. Everyone, I was communicating with someone last night who was a family member, and there was a potential issue they were concerned about with one of their children. And, you know, I we were texting back and forth. You know, there's nothing like a mama's prayers or a daddy's prayers, okay? That's a unique metron in your family that you have. That God has assigned to you and given to you.
Amen.
And so if something comes up in your family, like for in my family member I was sharing about, and there was an issue, you know what? You can have the mentality, well, that's just how things are. Or you can say, you know what? The Lord has equipped me to pray for my son, like Alexis just shared about. The Lord has equipped me. I don't have to say, well, he's just sick. God works in mysterious ways. That's how things are. I can say, no, you know what? The Lord has given me authority. He's put a fire in me. I have a metron to pray for my son.
Amen.
And see him ill. That's a metron, okay? There's a place in your work. I was talking to Bob some before class this morning. He said, what do you call it where you work? Like it was a play or something, like people, if you have a negative vibes, that's a metron, it's a ministry area God's given to Bob. And so Bob said he stands out because he doesn't come carrying a nasty attitude with him. He stands out. That's like a church. It's a ministry you have. There. It's a place where your light shines. I keep the light going in me. It's an area of influence. Okay? You're not going to come into my home and tell me how to raise my kids. Why? Because that's a metron God's given me. I don't step outside of it. I don't tell you guys how to raise your kids. That's a metron. And same for work. Every place you go, that's a good teaching. I don't go into someone else's church and start, hey, man, you should start doing this. If he's the pastor, I have a metron here but not there. Every one of you, where are you a pastor? Because all of us are. It's in my home. It's in my job. And if I see it that way, I have a responsibility to go in every day and recognize, you know what? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. I've put my spirit within you. You're to shine as lights. You're to release the presence and the glory and the goodness of God everywhere you go.
Amen.
That's your responsibility. Amen? So that puts it back on us. Another fallacy. And the Lord's been breaking this in the church for years. I mean, it's really probably been since like the 70s, I would say. Well, the work of the ministry, the fivefold leaders will do that. And the Lord's been breaking that mindset for a long time now. Okay? Because the ultimate role of the fivefold ministry is to train and equip everyone to the works of the ministry.
That's right.
That's the whole heart of it, is because we're all ministers. And so the body of Christ recognizes that. Hey, we're all the light. I was so happy. We shared some. The people who have been outpouring and showing love to Jenny, that's ministry. You know that? And it didn't come from me. It came from everyone here. It's shining your lights. It's saying, you know what? We shared it's like a family thing, you know. Treat the older women as mothers. Hey, that's a ministry. That's in all of us. That's Jenny's in our metron to pray for her. All of us have authority from the Spirit of God to pray for her.
Amen.
All of us do. She's part of our body here. We pray for her. We love her. You see this, but I have a responsibility to do it. I can either say, this is how things are. God does it things this way. Or I can say, no, you know what? I'd love to go deeper in this. It doesn't matter. The Lord's given me responsibility. He's entrusted his people with the stewardship in this earth. The Lord sits in heaven, but he's given the earth to the sons of men. I can pray for her and see results. Amen?
Amen.
And so, let me share something else with you real quick, and I'm going to wrap it up. I want to talk some as far as that relates to the will of God. Because people often ask that. And I want to speak about a principle I call it the principle of green light. And it's really how I live my life. I think it's scriptural. I have a great example in here. But let me read a couple passages for you. You can write these down. First one's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. And it says, and the reason this is important, if the Lord's given me responsibility, if the Lord is, you know, has lit me up, for example, for him, I don't want to see people paralyzed in inactivity because has God said this or not, you know? And, we have a mandate to go and do, but I want to balance that at the same rate. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How is God's will defined there? It's defined as rejoicing always. Praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. It's an attitude of my spirit and the will of God. I get out of that. Sometimes we do things outside the will of God because I'm not living my life in a state of being in the will of God. I'm discontented. I'm that. And so I try to do things. In my own life, I've seen this and I've done it. A lot of times I can see very, very clearly when I am rejoicing always, praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, when everyone at work stinks, and I'm still able to do it with a sincere heart, and I'm living in the will of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." How is the will of God defined there? Living in such a way where I can go to silence the ignorant talk of foolish people, where my life lines up in such a way that wherever I am, people can say, "You know what? There must be a God, because this guy right here, what's so different about him? You know, what is this about you?" It's a state of being, right?
Amen.
It's also a state of doing, but sometimes doing flows out of being. And a lot of times the Lord wants us to be something before we can really activate and do. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it's God who works within you both to will and to do his good pleasure." I love that verse. I say, "Lord, put whatever you want within my heart. It's God who works that within me." And so what I want to say is, when we live in the will of God as a state of being, we have wisdom to make day-to-day decisions. Okay?
Amen.
I don't have to. I mean, there's times you have to do things. How to get this out? So let me put it this way. There's a time in my life when it comes to the will of God and having God put something in your heart, whatever that is that you feel called to do. There was a time in my life where I had such a burning in my heart to do things for the Lord. Nothing was happening. And the reason I believe this in my heart, I know this, is because something was out of balance inside of me. And I wasn't living in the will of God inside of here. So I couldn't be really fully released to start walking where he's called me to, because something was wrong. Does that make sense to you? And so there's times where the Lord, he wants us, as we walk, as we're carriers of fire, carriers of who he is and what he is, that the Lord starts to put such a thankfulness in me to him in all circumstances, that I live a quality and a character of life that pursues him, that wants him, that's at peace and that's at rest. It's a lot easier to hear from God. This goes back to what I was saying initially. When I don't have this antenna and all these different feeds, and I'm eating on him and I'm chewing on him, and there's peace, and there's let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
Amen.
I love that verse. That's how I live my life. I govern. Is there a peace of God in this? Is there peace? What are you doing? But there's also, I don't want you to be paralyzed, because there's a principle of a green light. And sometimes the Lord, we get so paralyzed. Should I or should I not? Should I or should I not? I think the Lord works and cooperates with us as we're led by him. Okay, let me read some stuff in the book of Acts. It's in Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to wrap up with this example. Acts chapter 16, verse 6, and it says, "Now when they had gone through," I don't know how to pronounce that, Phygaria or something, "in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them." So what happened here? These guys, they weren't, should I or should I not? They just went and did. And guess what happened? The Lord didn't want it, so the Lord closed the door, right?
Amen.
I know that the Lord's, he's the God of the open door, but he's also the God of the closed door.
Yes. That's
right.
And there's times the Lord's closed doors. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what your heart is in this. I don't know what you're saying or what you're doing. I'm just going to step out and do it. I'm walking with you. I have a peace in it." And he'll close the door.
Amen.
And he shuts it. That's good.
Yes.
And that's a check for us, because you know what? I don't always get things right. I don't. And let me say one more thing, because I want people to be free. And I want you to always heal the sick, raise the dead, show the Lord, do these things. But you do it in such a way that aligns with the Word of God, that aligns with who he is and what he's doing. there's several verses. I have like 9 of them from Proverbs. But in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom, right? Safety.
Right.
And there's just when it comes to the will of God, this is helpful for everyone. This is what I do in my own life. Because I don't always get things right. I can walk with the Lord closely, and guess what? I still don't get things right. And I'll go and I say, Lord, I think this is what you're saying. I think this is what you're saying. But there's always, you know, one thing I want to be careful of is that I don't see people become freelancers. When I say a freelancer is someone who just does whatever they want, because I know plenty of them, and pretty much all of them, most of them, are very ineffective because they go off and they're indifferent. There's always important to be accountable to other people, amen? And if I'm going to make a decision in my life in any way, shape, or form, just bear with me as I just do all this. As I make decisions, I'll go to people that I'm accountable to. Hey, so-and-so. This is what I think the Lord is saying, brother. What do you think about this? Can you pray about this? Every time in my life when it's come to doing something for the Lord, there's always been confirmation from others in big things. Okay? Sometimes the Lord leads you in places the other way. But I know when I came up, for example, when I moved up here, I don't know why I'm getting all this, but maybe it's for someone. When I moved up here, I remember knowing, I came up here in July, I remember knowing on Christmas Eve that 14, that 2015, there's going to be big changes. I knew. No, I just knew it. I didn't know what that meant or how it meant. But as the Lord orchestrated steps for me to come here, there was such clarity. There was such peace in my heart. There was such peace in everyone I was accountable to. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. That's a safe place to be, guys. And so if the Lord's calling you to whatever that is, whatever that would be, and I don't know why I'm getting to this, maybe it's for someone, whatever that would be, because it's important that, yes, God's called me to operate the metron and pray and release the fire of God, the presence, the glory of God everywhere I am, but it's important that I'm in a right relationship with Him and right relationship with His body, okay? Yeah. And so I'm able to walk and flow in authority because I'm under authority, amen? And it's just something as we go through that we see as we move on. I am in partnership with the Lord, and He works and He speaks to me. But sometimes I don't always hear things clearly, and it's important that I also recognize we are the body of Christ. And there's areas of wisdom you carry, there's areas of wisdom that I carry, and we put it together and we move forward as a body. Amen. I'm talking about the body as a whole, okay?
Amen.
And so that's a good thing. And then in verse 8 it says, so passing through my Asia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach there. Other times it's crystal clear. My heart in saying all this stuff is that the apostolic commission is always to go, right? It's always, you have freedom. You don't have to be paralyzed by fear. Is this or is this not? I've seen so many people fail to ever act because they're afraid. Is this or is this not? Good principle, if you're afraid, just step out and act. And if it's not the Lord, He closes the door. Right. It's like a GPS. If I put the GPS and I take the wrong road, I'm like, oh, the kingdom's going to pot. I screwed up. No, it says recalculate, right? And the Lord in our life, He recalculates us when we make mistakes. Amen. My heart in this, just be free to do the will of God, okay? If I mess up, the Lord will close the door. He'll recalculate me. I'll say, okay, Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying? I'll go to people in my life, family members, whatever. Lord, what's the Lord doing? But just be free in the will of God, that the Lord has made you a light. He's called you to carry His presence and everything. And so be free to do it. And if the Lord doesn't want you in a place, He'll shut the door. Let me end with the story. I've gone on longer than I wanted to. I love this story because to me, this is what the result is of keeping the fire going in our life. Woodrow Wilson, one of our old presidents, he told the story, I'm going to read, of being in a barber shop. He said, I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room. A man had come quietly in upon some errand as myself to have his hair cut, and he sat in a chair next to me. Every word the man uttered, though it was not in the least didactic, showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through what was being done to me, I was aware I had attended an evangelistic service because D.L. Moody was in the chair. I purposely lingered in the barber shop after he left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the barber shop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name, but they knew something had elevated their thoughts, and I felt that I left that place as I should have left the place of worship. That's powerful, powerful stuff. When I keep the fire going in my life, and I can go to a barber shop, and it turns into, wow, what is this? Have you heard the story of Smith Wigglesworth? He was on a train, and he went to the bathroom, praying in the bathroom, came out. This is a documented story, and someone came and fell and said, I don't know God. What do I need to do to know God? When you carry that kind of thing, that's powerful stuff. Charles Finney, he would say this. It sounds arrogant, but I like what he said. He says, if the Lord's not there, if I go, the Lord's going to be there.
Amen.
We carry that kind of confidence. Lord's not there, but I'm going. He's called me to be a light. He's put a fire within me. I keep that fire going. The Lord's not in this area. It doesn't matter. He went to an area in the pastors, I think it was in Western Rochester, New York area, and they said, this is a preacher's graveyard. Don't come here. There's nothing here. He said, God's going to be here because I'm here.
Amen.
Smith Wigglesworth. This is also going to sound arrogant, but I'm going to say it anyway. Smith Wigglesworth, documented, said this. He said, if God's not moving, I make a move.
Amen.
What happened? Nothing's happening. I'm aware of who I am as a son of God.
Amen.
I keep the fire going within me. He's lit me in fire of salvation. He's put tongues of fire in me. I'm on fire for God, literally.
Amen.
And so when I move, because the Spirit of God is within me, the Lord partners with me, and He moves. Sometimes we wait. Well, when the mood hits me, I'll do this. When the mood hits me, I'll do that. Do things when the mood doesn't hit you and see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't, you know what? I don't feel like praying for this person. I mean, I don't feel anointed today. You ever said that? I just don't feel like I'm carrying it today. Who cares? The anointed one lives within you.
Amen.
And so I'm aware of that. That was on my heart today. Brazen altar. He lights the fire. We're still talking about the tabernacle. We're pressing in. The fire at the brazen altar, I'm going to say this to end, it spread. It also went to the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant. It carried all the way through. The fire is never to go out in your life.
Amen.
I can choose for it too. I can say, you know what, I'm going to stick right here. But the Lord says, I've saved you, filled you with my Spirit, and now I've given you responsibility to keep it going. No matter how you feel, no matter where you are, because there's something in you that everyone needs. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I thank you for the salvation Christina shared about, Lord. Thank you, Father. Angels in heaven rejoice over that. We thank you. Lord, I thank you that James is healed from Alexis' prayer last night. Lord, everything you're doing, God, Lord, throughout the week in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, you are King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, you're moving and working within us in a powerful way, and we honor you and we bless you. You are beautiful, holy, and we love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, prayer is Tuesday night. Men's is Saturday. And...